So I know you've all been praying for Rob, but you didn't pray hard enough because you're not able to do this today. So no, I'm just kidding. It's the Lord's will. Thank you, brother, for preparing this. Appreciate it. He labors very hard to edify us through the teaching of the word, and we should give him double honor for that. So, as you know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been learning that gaining wisdom for community living means we must begin with and be founded in the fear of the Lord. This is our study through Proverbs. It's been incredible. I've really been enjoying this because we are a community and we do live together and we need to know how to interact with each other. Just like a family has rules and guidelines for interacting within the family for a smooth running family, the same is true for us, and we have wisdom from God that allows us to do that. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is reverent awe of God's transcendent holiness and authority that draws us close to Him rather than driving us away. It produces humble obedience. It produces a hatred of evil, a dread of resisting Him, a dread of resisting God, and it also produces joyful refuge in Him. It's the starting point of true wisdom, and it's the antidote to all other fears, to all lesser fears. So with that in mind, let's do a summary of the last few weeks. Week one, the fear of the Lord makes wisdom, as you remember, comprehensive and accessible. Proverbs 1, remember 1 to 7. It's the summary of the whole book right there. It's the thesis statement for the book of Proverbs. In other words, it's comprehensive because in our reverence and awe of God, we gain access to God and all of His wisdom. It's pretty incredible. Psalm 119, verse 99 says this, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The psalmist is praying to God, I have more understanding than my teachers because I meditate on your testimonies, God. So God has all of the wisdom, and we, when we properly fear Him in genuine reverence, we get access to Him and His wisdom. It's incredible. God's wisdom is also accessible in that everyone, from the young to the old, to the simple to the wise, you guys remember this, can grasp hold of skillful living under God or in God. There is no group of people, no category of person that does not have access to God and His wisdom when they properly fear the Lord. Week two, we talked about how the fear of the Lord is the foundation for hard and diligent work, keeping us from the error, the ditch of being a sluggard or being lazy. If you remember, we talked about the ant. God displays His nature and His blueprint for proper living in everything He's made. The lessons are everywhere. In the created order, God has given us all of these valuable examples to follow, including the lowly ant, which you probably have running around in your house right now. Remember that as you're stepping on them. Week three, we saw that the fear of the Lord as the foundation of wisdom provides the why, and it provides the when to cease work, to stop working. It keeps us from the other ditch of endless toil and overwork. It's self-dependence over here, and it guards us from the idolatry of that, of the idolatry of turning our work meant to be an act of worship to God into worship of a different kind, into worship of ourselves through our own abilities, our own provision, and our self-actualization. That's the idolatry of overwork. And now we come to Proverbs 22, verses 1 today. This is where we're going to be. If you want to turn there. We're going to find today that the fear of the Lord makes us more concerned about who we are than what we have. We should be more concerned about who we are than what we have. In other words, fearing God makes us far more concerned than our character, that our character is aligned with His character, than what we own, or what we possess. How much money is in our bank account? And it says this, 22 verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. This is the word of the Lord. If you pray with me, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good day. What an amazing time we've had here as a church family, Lord, with the baptism. And Lord, Al, just submitting to you in obedience, it's wonderful. And we can remember the day we were baptized. And Lord, what a glorious thing it is to be in your family. It's the very, very best family. And I pray that your word would go forth, that your word would do the work in the hearts of us here gathered in this room, and that we would submit to you and submit to your ways, and that we would grow in proper fear and awe of you, Heavenly Father. So in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs 22:1. Let's unpack this a little bit. Now we're going to take some time to... It's a dense proverb. There's a lot here. There's more than you think. It's really short. And then we're going to look at some applications for this. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. So let's look at this good name. In Hebrew, the word name is Shem. Shem is the Hebrew word there, and it's far more than a label that somebody would call you. It's more than the word. It's more than the sounds and the letters that make up the word that distinguishes you from another person. It's more than that. In your Bible, your name is your reputation. It's emblematic of who you are. Your name signifies or symbolizes your character. It symbolizes your legacy. And it stands for or symbolizes your identity within the community of people that you are living. It symbolizes and stands for how people see you and how God sees you. And this is why when we pray in Jesus' name, it's far more than a sign-off. It's far more than an ending tag to a prayer because it's a habit. It's far more than that. Praying in Jesus' name is appealing to Christ and His entire person, all of His attributes wrapped up in His name. So this is why the Bible treats names with such gravity. And it's why a good name is more desirable than great riches. Because who we are, a good name symbolizes who we are. Who we are is more important than what we have. Who we are is more important than what we have. The second thing we see in this is that a good name is to be chosen. A good name is to be chosen. What's choosing a good name? Well, it's active participation. You choose your public character, in a sense. Your choices and your actions directly correlate to how people perceive you and how people engage with you. In a real sense, you choose your legacy. You choose how people see you, how God sees you. You do not wake up one morning and say, I'm going to have a good name, and you have a good name. It's not like that. Simply because the last name Smith means I have a good name. It doesn't. Or if you're a Smith or you're a Jones or you're an American or you're a Hoosier, right? None of this, or even if you're a Christian, none of this automatically means you have a good name. You build a good name by the choices you make in the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs is full of these choices. And as a family, we read through them and we're like, let's look up some choices. And right in the same chapter, there's many choices you can make that supports having a good name and a good reputation. Faithful daily acts. Faithful, normative, things you do every day. Acts of righteousness, justice, and equity. Remember that word, it means straight dealing. This is something you gain over time. You craft your name, your reputation by everyday mundane choices, guided by and founded on the fear of the Lord. Outside of the fear of the Lord, it's not going to happen. The third thing we see from this verse is this. A good name must be chosen rather than wealth, rather than silver and gold, rather than great riches. So to teach us wisdom, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he's holding out this choice. He's like, hey guys, here's a choice. If you're faced with the opportunity to choose between two things, one or the other, between one good thing and another thing that's arguably good, right? Wealth's not bad. Wisdom says that there's one of those choices far outweighs the other. They both seem good. One outweighs the other. One choice is better long term. Two reasons we should choose a good name over great riches. Riches are temporary. We know this. In a sense, wealth comes and goes, right? Rags to riches, classic tale of rags to riches. Wealth can be lost, it can be stolen, and it will be left behind when you die. When you enter eternity, you won't bring your bags of gold that you collected over the course of your life. Psalm 39, verse 6 says, surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather it. It's a warning. We don't take it with us. Riches are temporary. On the other hand, a good name grounded in the fear of the Lord is tethered to God's name. Remember, we have this choice. He's presenting this choice to us. On one hand, you've got the temporary nature of riches. On the other hand, you have the good name that is tethered to God's name. And that's to be our main concern. Our main concern is this. Psalm 39:7 finishes by saying, and now, O Lord, for what do I want? For what do I wait? My hope is in you. Our hope is in God. Wealth may impress men for a season, right? Wealth is impressive. We all know it takes a lot of work to get wealth. But a reputation that reflects God's holiness, God's integrity, and his faithfulness, it honors God. It honors him, and it's of far greater value than wealth. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 say this, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Steadfast love and faithfulness are attributes of God. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, carry these with you always. Remember them. Don't let go of God's attributes. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Do we want favor and good success in the sight of God and man? Obviously, yes. It's a good thing, and it's a wonderful thing. And Proverbs says, hang on to God's attributes, because that is how this happens. And there's a quote from Shakespeare. Good name in man and women is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my purse steals trash. But he that filches from me, my good name, robs me of that which does not enrich him, but it would make me poor indeed. Shakespeare. Number two, riches can be deceiving, right? Riches are temporary and they're deceiving. Riches may not always flee from us, but in their possession, they can cause us to be distracted, to lose focus on what's really important. In other words, with wise money handling, you could theoretically and potentially maintain your wealth on earth until the day you die. It happens, right? We know how to handle wealth, and we could hang on to it. But with wealth, it can easily become a distraction from what's most important. Remember, we have these choices in front of us. This is okay. This is better. This can be a distraction even if we have it. Even if we have the opportunity to have both of the choices, it can be a distraction. Deuteronomy 8, 11 to 14, it reminds us this. It says, take care, as the Lord speaking to his people, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, by not obeying him. Lest when you have eaten and are full, right, that's the sign of wealth, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, all that you have is multiplied, right? He's painting the picture of wealth. He says, take care lest this happens. Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. In other words, you no longer fear God because you're rich. It's a stark warning for us. It's a danger. And Solomon is saying, hey guys, there's a danger here. Here's two things. If you have to choose one or another, choose the good name. If you have wealth, watch out. It's a danger. Solomon is speaking to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes in a very poetic way. Proverbs is great like this. He reinforces the wisdom in the first part, a good name over great riches, through repetition into different terms, right? We can read this first part, and then we can read the second part, and they both build each other up in meaning. Essentially, it's saying the same thing, but in another way. The second part says this, and favor is better than silver or gold. The word favor in the Hebrew carries a rich sense of goodwill, favor, respect, honor, high esteem, those kinds of things, in the eyes of an audience, in this case, people and God. Favor is something we all really need and we all really want. A good name is placed with or equated with and includes favor in Solomon's comparison here. And riches is placed with, equated with, and includes silver and gold. You see that? It's a nice, helpful, logical fleshing out of this concept for us. It's a doubling up. It's a repetition of the same idea and to set in a new way to drive home the point. And what's the point? Character and reputation. Respect includes respect, honor, and esteem hold far greater value than wealth, than material riches. Character is better by far than material wealth. This is true. This does not mean, and I hinted to this earlier, that building wealth or pursuing success in business is wrong. Far from it. In Genesis, it tells us to take dominion over the earth, to control it, to subdue it, and to order it. God gave us the planet, which is wild. It needs tamed. The first thing God did is put Adam in a garden and said, figure this out. He gave him a job. He gave him a work to do. So success is not wrong. As we saw last week, many proverbs show that, many proverbs in this book show that a good name and wise wealth building often go hand in hand. A man with a good reputation very often has wealth to go with it. His reputation came from somewhere. A lot of times, he'll have assets as well. And we should celebrate it when this happens, right? This is good. Diligence and excellence produce wealth. That's what it says in Proverbs. Financial wisdom and stewardship are godly traits. Financial wisdom, smarts, money smarts, and the ability to handle wealth are godly traits. And we should seek to grow in wisdom, all kinds of wisdom, including financial dealings. We shouldn't say, Lord, because I'm afraid of money and it's got a stigma, I'm going to be wise and obey you over here, but I'm just going to be a complete, I'm just going to not look, and this is a huge mess over here. That's foolishness, right? We talked about this morning in the workshop. One of the attributes of wisdom is evenness. And some of this we're talking about, yeah, it's really easy in my life to have a good name over here because I'm doing this really well and this is easy for me or whatever. I work hard because this is something I like to do, but I'm abandoning something over here. Maturity will bring us into balance. It will even that out. And so finances and the ability to handle finances is a part of wisdom. Diligence. But Solomon's wisdom, Solomon's words to us is clear. That's great, but a good name and the favor of God and the favor of others must be held higher. It's a driving force of a much higher priority in our lives, in all of our interactions, especially in our business dealings, right, with one another. We're going to talk more about working with one another in this community as we extract God's wisdom from Proverbs. So wealth and success can be good things, but they must never become the main focus, right? That's idolatry. We're Christians, we don't do that. We worship one God, and it is not money. So when we put the pursuit of godly character and reputation and reputation above wealth, above silver and gold, financial blessing often follows as a byproduct. But even if it doesn't, or even when it doesn't, we still got our good name, which is tied to God's good name, and the value is incalculable. You still have it. No one can take that away from you. Money comes and goes. Reputation based on the fear of the Lord stays. We want that favor with God, and we want that favor with men. So I have found in my own life that choosing a good name does often involve a loss of a little wealth. It very often does, and I'll tell you what I mean. In my business, I have to be willing to choose the better thing, a good reputation, over the lesser thing, some money, some amount of money. Every day, I make and sell parts. And every day, I run into circumstances where I'm faced with the same proverbial decision, right, that Solomon lays out before me. Improve my reputation or improve my bank account. Improve my good name or improve the money that I own. And so often as I'm about to ship a part out, I hold it in my hand and I'm standing in front of that trash can and I'm going, I'm doing a quality control. Very technical. I go like this. And then I either pack it in the box or I throw it in the trash. That's a decision I make. And sometimes I see a blatant flaw. And the decision's simple, right? I can ship this thing. It's going to look bad. That person's going to get it. They're going to go, this guy, my reputation, right? Dinged hard. But other times, it's a lot more subtle. That flaw may be something that only I notice. They may not see it. And sometimes I'm like, I wonder if they'll see that. I see it. And so if they see it, I'll lose reputation. If they don't notice it, I'll save money. You guys catch that? That's the choice that Solomon's laying out before me. I can stand there in front of that trash can, my part in hand, deciding if it's good enough to ship, or I don't want to lose. I don't want to waste any. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste material. That's a loss of money because I essentially have to make that part again. So in the trash it goes, right? A little wealth lost, reputation gained. Good name is gained. And I do it, I choose a good name over riches because I fear God. I'm working for the Lord. I'm working for Jesus, my King. The customer is going to participate in that favor. They're going to look at me and go, that guy will always take care of you. He'll do his best. But they'll remember. So I can save money or I can, you know, lose reputation. Proverbs 10, verse 7 echoes this same truth. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Boy, that's a hard word. That's a great verse, isn't it? What are we remembering when you think of a righteous person with a good reputation? Think of somebody that you've had a dealing with who you just, they're righteous. You trust them. You think well of them. You remember their character. You remember their virtues. You remember that they're reliable. or honest, something you remember, a smile forms in your mind. On the flip side, this memory of a wicked person will rot. The reputation of the name of the wicked will rot. In your head, they'll be infamous, the opposite of famous, infamous. Famous for a bad reason. It becomes a curse. Their name, their reputation, it decays to nothing. If it's a business, you'll remember their mistakes. You remember they don't have a good name. You remember their shoddy work or their haphazard customer service, and a scowl forms in your mind, right? Your reputation is rotten. It's going down. True wisdom always chooses lasting honor before temporary wealth. So, let's take this analogy. There's an analogy. The ideas from the last few weeks, and let's think about them in this way. Imagine three Christian men, three good Christian men that we would have in this church. Let's call them Tom, Mike, and Dave. There's no Toms, Mikes, or Daves in here, right? These are not real people. So each of these guys is running their own business to varying degrees of success. They love the Lord. They come to church. They see real strengths in each other. Tom is a creative guy. He's relational. This Mike fellow is a visionary. He's a go-getter, right? Some of those people are driven like that. And this Dave guy is careful with details. He's a risk-averse, careful man. And so they decide that their attributes all line up, and they launch a joint venture. On paper, everything looks perfect. But here's what they don't see at first. Let's say that each one of these guys has quietly drifted away from the fear of the Lord. Their daily motivation has subtly shifted from worship and wisdom, right, which is what we're working for, we're being taught. But instead of that, they're working for personal desires. They've got other reasons which stand above worship and wisdom. Tom has slipped into quiet slothfulness. He did not pay attention to the ant. He wants comfort. He's lazy. He's getting lazy. He lost his fear of the Lord. Mike toils endlessly. He's driven by achievement because his identity is in what he does. Achievement-based identity. Dave constantly checks his account balance. His security is in his money. He's driven by a deep insecurity, and he needs money to feel safe. At first, these differences of these three guys, right? He's good at this, he's good at this, he's good at this. It feels complimentary, but let's say this in our analogy, the venture hits inevitable bumps, right? All the business ventures hit these things, right? Delays, rising costs, tough decisions, things like that. Their true motives will surface when the bumps happen. When the storm comes, they'll come out. Instead of asking, hey, how can we honor Christ, serve one another, and protect our good names, right? How can we do this individually and collectively as Christians? We represent the Lord before a watching world. People are paying attention. How can we honor the Lord and uphold our good names? Instead of that, they judge one another by the bottom line, and they evaluate each other based on their own personal desires and values. You see, they've lost the plot. The blame shifting begins. The partnership fractures. The community watches, right? People are watching. Three Christians are divided, not on theology, but by misplaced priorities. And this is exactly what Proverbs 22, verse 1 warns us. A good name is more desirable than the bottom line. When the fear of the Lord is no longer the foundation of wisdom, which we have learned, we stop caring about character, right? We start managing fears and doing damage control around financial losses. Our primary concern becomes about things over here that are temporary things that we think we have to have, we think we need. But let's say in this analogy, the fear of the Lord is restored. These people are counseled by wise men, and they say, oh, I have been abusing my relationship with the Lord. I forgot who God was. I forgot how holy God is and how he gives me the roadmap for how to do these dealings. And everything changes at that point. They become honest. Let's say they become honest about their motivations. They allow the Holy Spirit to expose and transform their hearts. They repent of their self-centered drivers, the purposes by which they run their business, comfort, identity, security. And they return to a reverent awe of God. Out of this heart change, they begin to engage one another with biblical righteousness, justice, and equity. From chapter 1, equity, straight dealing. Their partnership becomes marked by humility, trust, unity, and they become a powerful witness for Christ at this point because people are watching. People see their name. Their good name and God's name would then be honored, would then be better, increased in the eyes of the community. So, to wrap this up, this is a consistent message of the fear of the Lord. And we've been talking about this for these 3 weeks. It gives us wisdom and produces the fruit of righteousness, justice, and equity from week one. The fear of the Lord fuels diligent work while protecting us from sloth and laziness from week two. The fear of the Lord teaches us why we work and when to stop, guarding us from the idolatry of reliance on ourselves instead of reliance on God, who supplies it all. From week three, and now in Proverbs 22, verse 1, it makes us vigilant about our character. Our character matters, right? We're going down this line, we're learning these things, now we come to character. It teaches us to value our character, our reputation, our good name, and the favor of God and others above material success. This is the choice before us. In the end, silver and gold will pass away. Businesses may rise and they fall. They get dissolved. Bank accounts will eventually close or just be emptied or passed on to somebody else, and you don't know how they'll handle that. They could waste it. But a good name forged in the fear of the Lord, shaped by daily righteous choices, remember the choice, and guarded by humility and integrity, will endure always. It will honor Christ, strengthen his church, and it will bless your children. And all these things will grow God's kingdom. We are here to work on the kingdom, not my kingdom, God's kingdom. So the question each of us must answer today is this: will we choose a good name over great riches? Will we live in the fear of the Lord as our highest priority, knowing that it's the basis of all wisdom and knowledge? Will we have this fear in our hearts, our homes, our workplaces, and even our partnerships, even our jobs, even our business dealings? So now let's turn to some very practical ways, by means of application, that we can actively build a good name. It's not passive. It's active. It's daily choices rooted in the fear of the Lord. And so as I read through these, if some of these stand out to you, make a note. Maybe pick one or two to think about and meditate over the week. First, fear the Lord above all, right? Foundational. If you miss this, you miss the whole thing. If you miss this, you're just playing make-believe. Fear the Lord above all. When we live in reverent awe of God, every community interaction and every business decision flows from worship to him rather than self-interest. You see the difference? If everything I do is worship to God, including my interactions with you all in business, it's worship. Good things come from that versus self-interest. What can I get? How can I increase myself? The fear of the Lord above all. Number two, choose love through obedience. Biblical love is not sentiment or individually defined. It's heart level obedience to God's command. The Lord says, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. This shapes how we treat each other. This shapes how we do business, how we treat customers, partners, competitors, you name it. Number three, build your reputation. And if you're young, build it now. Start building it now. You may be a teenager or a kid and thinking, yeah, I'll come back to this when I'm a grown-up. Young people, you are building your name right now. The way you keep your word at home trains you for adulthood, right? The thing you practice now, you'll do later as an employee, as a mom, as a business owner, whatever it is that you do, you can start practicing that now. Honor your parents. Number four, keep your word at all costs. Your word is your bond, as the old saying goes, a handshake. Psalm 15:4 says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. It's the same person that can dwell who dwells in God's presence. Now, what does this mean? It speaks of a man with a godly character trait of honesty. He never goes against his word, even to his own hurt, even to his own detriment. In other words, if you make a promise, you keep it, even if it hurts. Number five, build trust in small things. Be on time. Simple. Follow through. Also simple. Speak truthfully. Don't be a weasel. Return phone calls, right? Pay bills promptly. These are little things, small acts that compound into a powerful reputation. They build your good name. They're choices that work on your good name. Number six, measure success by character, not cash. Character, not money. Regularly ask yourself, am I becoming the kind of person that others can trust with their money, their family, or their business? By intentionally being thoughtful about this, you can know if you're the kind of person that you would want to work with. Be the kind of person that you would hire. Do you want to hire somebody who's reliable? Yes. Do you want to hire somebody who's unreliable and lazy? No. You want to be consistent, level-headed, mature. Number seven, protect one another's good name. This is a good one. So in the church and in business, you should be defending your brothers and sisters. Speak well of them. Address weaknesses privately and celebrate their strengths publicly. Why do we do this? Our collective reputation as Christians is at stake. The Bible says that we are to build one another up in love. Like you care for the health of your body, including all of its parts, you should care for the good name and the reputation of fellow Christians, because they're part of the same body as you are. Fellow Christians are part of Christ's body, so we care for one another. We build each other up in love. Number eight, parent with eternity in mind. If you're a parent in this room, this applies to you. Let your children see these choices, right? These choices that lead to a good name. Let them see your integrity winning over profit, right? Let them see that. Talk openly about this. They're watching and they are learning, and they absorb it even if it looks like they're just eating at the table. You know, talk about these things openly. Talk about the fear of the Lord and why it matters to have a good name. Why it matters, why their reputation matters. Son, you can start working on this now. And it matters more than money. So my friends, church family, the Proverbs are given to us for skillful living together under God as a community. And so today, let's choose together to fear the Lord, the foundation. Fear the Lord with awe and with reverence. Be diligent and be joyful in your work. Know why and when to stop. It's the other ditch. And be more concerned with who you are than what you possess. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. The book of Proverbs is incredible. It's a true gift to all of mankind. And for us to be able to go through it is a gift. And we thank you for it, Holy Spirit, for writing these words for us. They are the blueprint for our lives. Lord, let them change us. Let us not forget, but little by little, remember, work on our reputations, work on the good names. Lord, choose what's better over wealth and riches, which are so tempting, Lord, because we want to honor you, and most of all, give us a proper fear for you, for your name, because you are holy and pure and just and good, and you have bought us and brought us into your family. And for that, we are extremely grateful. So we thank you for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.